WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Federal Aviation Administration banning drones in certain parts of New Jersey.
And threatening to shoot down unauthorized drones due to special security concerns. The FAA warning that flying a drone without government permission in 22 areas is illegal. And authorities may use deadly force against any drones that pose an imminent security threat.
ABC's Ariel Reshef. Who'll blink first? The House Republican bill to keep the government running past Friday night failed, and Democrats say the only bill they support is the bipartisan measure that was torpedoed by billionaire Elon Musk and then President-elect Trump. The so-called murder hornet? No more in the U.S. 5 years after first being spotted near the border with Canada and Washington State. State and federal agricultural officials announced the hornet's eradication in the U.S. No new sighting since 2021. This is ABC News. A judge in San Diego ordered Alexander Papendorf to surrender his guns to authorities. He's accused of plotting an attack and has a connection to the deadly mass school shooting in Madison, Wisconsin.
Papendorf was allegedly communicating with the school shooter in Madison, Wisconsin before her death this week and was plotting a mass shooting with her. Court documents obtained by ABC News say Papendorf admitted to FBI agents that he had said he would arm himself with explosives and a gun and would target a government building. He's due in court for a hearing next month. Alex Stone, ABC News.
In Alexandria, Virginia, they're getting an early start to the holiday break. The largest high school in Northern Virginia, Alexandria City, has canceled the last 2 days of classes in 2024 after multiple fights broke out on Wednesday. Some people were injured, two students charged with assault and battery. Despite the school being closed, students were expected to log in online for homework. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, your claws are full, but that would really...
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for you.
Oh, the worst.
Wow. He would talk like that.
Get this. Absolutely.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we could get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Bucks in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup, the Milwaukee Bucks are on the road tonight against the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bucks are 14-11 after the break. The Cavaliers in first place at 23-4. Three former Bucks players named nominees to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Marcus Johnson, Terry Cummings, and John McLaughlin, and Coach Doc Rivers, also named a nominee. College basketball, the Badgers go back to work this weekend at the Kohl Center. They will host a Horizon League team, the Detroit Mercy Titans, at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. NFL Packers practicing in the snow. There's a chance for some flurries Monday night when they host the Saints. Running back Josh Jacobs says he likes games in the snow.
I like the game just because, you know, cold games, snow games, because defenders don't really want to hit. It kind of make them make decisions. You got to kind of make a business decision at times, and it's easier for me because I'm going to make you have to make that decision.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Can you imagine not even having contact info for your parents? That's how Trinity Rodman is rolling these days, saying her father, Dennis Rodman, is only her dad by blood. Trinity, who is a professional soccer player for the Washington Spirit, appeared on the Call Her Daddy podcast and said her father's hard-partying lifestyle as an NBA player was not conducive to him being a good parent. I believe that's true, but he did make a beautiful bride. FX's series The Old Man has two seasons in the books, and that is all, folks. The show about an ex-CIA operative played by Jeff Bridges performed well in its first season and received two Emmy nominations. Season 2 received 3 Critics' Choice nominations, but that did not stop FX from pulling the plug. Despite this, it's a pretty good show if you want to check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Winter storm warning remains in effect. Another 1 to 3 inches of snowfall overnight as lows drop to the mid-20s. Gusty northeast winds. On Friday, a little snow early. Otherwise, we'll see gradual clearing. Gusty north winds, highs in the upper 20s. It's 30 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Friday. That means it is time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, or leave a comment on the live stream at on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media Meteorologist, coming up in about 15 minutes, a little weather and wine, and she is going to update us on the weather, tell us how much snow we're going to get depending upon where you are in Wisconsin. Again, I've been taking a look at 511wi.gov. That shows you where all the accidents are scattered all over the place. And we're seeing them show up around Madison, Milwaukee, and further to the north and northwest. So be careful if you're heading out on the roadways today. And please keep in mind that no matter how good of a driver you are, and no matter how fabulous your vehicle is, the laws of physics still apply to you. It is that time. I know. It is that time, Greg Bach.
What's that time?
The Civic Media Statewide Text Win Grown-Up Gift List Contest is underway. So here's what you do. Grab your phone because you need the Civic Media app. And if you don't have it, you still have an hour. It's only going to take you a minute. Go to your app store. Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Media. Download the Civic Media app and text the word SLED. S-L-E-D. SLED is the word for this hour. You can pick up $100 in cash. We play this contest in the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours, either playing for an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. In this case, SLED, S-L-E-D, is the word for $100 in cash. Your next chance to play the contest coming up with Todd Alba at 1 p.m. and then with Dom Salvia at 4 p.m. Text the word SLED right now, S-L-E-D, for your shot at $100 in cash. Everyone, of course, can be in the running for 8 grand prizes, and those will be, the contest wraps up tomorrow. Not much time left. Wow. I know, it went quick, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
So text the word SLED, S-L-E-D. You have until noon, and if you don't have the Civic Media app yet, just go to your app store and download it. It is absolutely free. There's also an option for a bonus entry, Greg.
That's Bob. Right. You're going to go to your Civic Media app. You're going to enter into the contest, and then we're going to send you a response. Now, do not block us. Do not count us as spam. Don't do those things, because if you do that, you won't get this return response. This return response will ask you to do something very simple. Sign up for our newsletter. Follow Matt and Air on Facebook. Follow Civic Media on social media. Civic Media on social media. That's interesting to say out loud. But you do those things, and you're going to get, for this contest cycle, one extra vote. It's only once.
Yeah, but only once.
Another chance to get that grand prize or today's prize. Either way, you're entered in twice if you take advantage of this opportunity. Why wouldn't you take advantage?
It's so easy. It's so easy. It absolutely is. Text the word SLED, S-L-E-D, and good luck for that $100. I would love to hear from you if you live in Franklin or Greenfield, Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, or Summers. You are in the news today. Headline reads from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. These Wisconsin cities, including two Milwaukee suburbs, could get new zip codes.
Ooh. Look at you, so Summers.
Summers is adorable. Milwaukee suburbs of Franklin and Greenfield are two of five Wisconsin communities that can be impacted by a new bill that just passed unanimously in the U.S. House of Representatives that would assign them their own zip codes.
I think that's great. It's fine. I mean, good. I'd love to find out from people from, like, you know, Summers and those areas if it's been a hassle. Like my mother-in-law lives in Mount Pleasant, and a lot of times things just get Racine, and it's the same zip code. It's her address. It doesn't matter. Like it doesn't get lost in the mail. I'm wondering how long will it take people to acclimate to new zip codes if they get them.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So shared zip codes apparently have been a pain for quite a while. Brian Stile, who represents the first district, including Franklin, said zip codes play an important role in community identity, and the consequences of inaccurate address listings are a frustration for local officials and residents. I don't doubt that.
I mean, I don't doubt that either, but it's Brian Stile. So I'm like, okay, taking a big
grain of salt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know who authored the bill? Lauren Bobo Boebert.
Well, because she just moved to West. She just moved to a new place in Colorado.
In Colorado.
So she needs a new zip code because she couldn't win in Western Colorado. So she had to move and get elected there. So it probably had something to do with her inelectability in her hometown.
The bill also has 12 co-sponsors, including Wisconsin Republicans Scott Fitzgerald and Brian Stile.
Wait, Scott Fitzgerald did something?
Scott Fitzgerald did something. And I guess this is what jumped out at me as I was looking at this article earlier this morning. Greenfield Mayor Michael Nitzke said being a pest about the issue paid off. Mayor Nitzke said the passing of this bill has been long overdue and commended the House for passing it, quote, "For some 20 years as mayor, I've been a pest with Congressman Fitzgerald, and being a pest paid off. I'm so grateful to Congressman Fitzgerald for doing this right and remembering us," unquote. My takeaway from that is that if you want your representative to get something done, it's going to take 20 years.
Scott Fitzgerald has been in the Congress since 2020.
Since 2020.
Yes, elected in 2020. Congressman Scott Fitzgerald represents Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District. I'm looking at it right now. He may have been bothering Jim Sensenbrenner as well, but Scott Fitzgerald, he'll be able to run on this because he does so little and he never has serious competition. He is in treasured land. He can just be like,
as far as his seat being safe. Yeah.
I've authored dozen of bill. Vote for Scott Fitzgerald. You got a zip code. You're welcome.
It still has to pass the Senate. It has passed out of the House.
Yeah.
Franklin Mayor John Nelson said that the confirmed zip code issue is a federal matter tied to the United States postal system. And Franklin currently shares the city of Milwaukee zip codes, which I guess is annoying. And I can see where that would be problematic.
Yeah.
Getting lost, things not getting there on time. But when we're talking about the post office,
oh boy,
there are other potential issues.
Yeah.
With beyond just approving a couple new zip codes. Donald Trump, you may not have heard, may try to privatize the postal service.
Yeah. Yeah.
This doesn't always work out well.
No.
Privatizing agencies. And I know the post office has had money problems for a long time. It's a very complicated, from what I understand, it's a very complicated system as far as who pays for what and how this gets paid for. But privatizing the post office, I think, would really hurt rural areas in particular.
Oh, absolutely. Because even before Monsieur Louis Jajoy, they've always been looking for cuts, always looking for cost-saving measures. And part of me wonders is if you don't maybe go in the opposite direction and you say, all right, you know, you have the USPS, you have UPS, you have FedEx, and you have some other services that deliver. Why not try to be in competition with them and give them the money they need to do, like, to be competitive, if you will, instead of constantly trying to find cuts, which is cutting the hours of post offices, closing post offices, and restricting delivery area, or, you know, I mean, this, I've made the comparison before, and I'm going to say it again. In Racine, years ago, they did a study to see if it would make sense to privatize their garbage collection, and they found out that not only would it be a bad idea, it was going to cost them more money, and there was no guarantee of quality because the people who worked the streets to collect the garbage didn't report to the city. They reported to a boss, and that boss wants to what? Cut costs as much as possible. So privatization is not the answer in every situation. In fact, I'd say a lot of times it's not ever the right answer.
Well, and what sets the post office apart is that it doesn't matter where you live, even if it's inconvenient, they have to deliver to you.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of their mission. And if we privatize it, what makes you think that companies are going to want to go to these remote areas where it's not going to make them any money?
Yeah, they're going to make them come. They're going to make them buy post office boxes and say, hey, you out there in those, you in Butternut, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You now have to go drive 25 minutes east to get your mail because we're not delivering to you anymore because we can't afford that. We don't have the manpower to get all those letters and packages to you. So you got to come to us now. And that's an inconvenience.
Well, and a lot of people get medication through the mail.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So
this is an issue that isn't going to be going away anytime soon. This discussion about privatizing the post office. Donald Trump says he is in favor of it. Of course, he thinks everything should be making money.
He wants Canada to be the 51st state. What could go wrong? What could go wrong, Jane?
Perfectly fine, Greg.
Yes.
It's all going to be perfectly fine. Brittany Merlot is going to be joining us to give us a little update about the weather. Don't forget SLED, S-L-E-D. SLED is this hour's word that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. We have $100 up for grabs this hour. Text the word SLED, S-L-E-D, and good luck. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide, yes, we're global.
Yes.
Civic Media Radio Network.
She gives me, and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The holidays are here, and there's no better way to celebrate than sharing our favorite holiday memories with all of you.
A holiday memory that I always bring up is my father was meticulous about the tree. It had to be in blue lights, and they had to blink in a certain order. Top, middle, bottom, all together. Top, middle, bottom, all together. So that's always going to be a Christmas memory I go to.
And Lisa, what would you like to say to our listeners?
I wish you the happiest of holiday season throughout Wisconsin.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you. And highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, you can call, you can text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest is underway right now. Grab your phone, get to your Civic Media app, and text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D. Text the word SLED. That's, you're in the running then for $100 in cash, nice and handy right before Christmas. And then you'll be in the running as well for one of 8 grand prizes, including a snowblower, going to be handy, robotic vacuums. We have espresso machines and some other lovely, lovely prizes. So text the word SLED right now. You have until noon, S-L-E-D. Text in the word SLED via the Civic Media app. She joins us every week at this time for a little weather and wine. She is in her element. Civic Media meteorologist joining us by phone, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, girl.
Good morning. How are you guys?
How happy are you that we're getting snow?
Oh, so happy that I'm outside standing in it right now in this middle of a winter storm warning. It is beautiful. It's painting the landscape pretty. But, of course, those roads, a little slick and slippery, but it's getting worse as we go through the afternoon and into the evening. If you're looking outside thinking, we don't have anything yet, or there just isn't that much just yet, it's still headed our way. That low pressure system is still over towards Minnesota, and it's still going to be headed towards Wisconsin, swiping the southern areas and increasing those winds and bringing us even more.
So let's talk totals, Brittany, about what, depending upon where you are in the state.
Yeah, so you know, the north is kind of really missing out on this right now. We were supposed to get a bunch more, but I'm sitting here in Wausau right now. Looks like about half an inch on the ground. Our totals, though, were projected to be anywhere from 5 to potentially 8 inches. And I don't think we're going to be close to that 8 inches, but I do think that we could definitely hit 6 inches, about a half a foot through northern central Wisconsin areas. Now, La Crosse has already picked up anywhere from 2 to 5 inches. It's still
wow.
coming down for them. So, yes. So that area off to the west and south, I do think they're going to see some of the higher snow totals from this system because it seems like it's sliding further south. So some areas only in a winter weather advisory could total up anywhere from a half a foot. I wouldn't say a foot. That's a little bit too much. But some places by the lake, like Michigan, Lake Superior, the lake effect snow is going to be ramping up, especially this evening and into the overnight. So some of those totals could hit near double digits.
Well, I'm sure the businesses up in those areas are delighted because they just got crushed last year with the lack of snow. So they, the snowmobilers can get out there and the skiers and all the outdoors folks and go sledding and do all those things. But again, it's just, it just makes for really tricky driving. And as you said, Brittany, it's going to be picking up as the day goes on. It sounds like, too, in some areas, this might be hitting, especially during drive time when people are heading home tonight.
Yes, that was my biggest concern with the system was the evening commute, because I knew this morning it was just going to be starting, but it was really ramping up and the wind's increasing. The visibility is going to be dropping. It's going to be dark outside. It's going to be slippery and slick with those rates just increasing. I mean, we could see about a half an inch per hour as we push into the afternoon and evening. So go slow. Take your time. Leave early. Stay away from those plow truck drivers. You know, they need space. They can slide, too. You don't want to be close to them.
And also, as we've said before, and now I'm an owner of one of them. If you have four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, that's fine. But that doesn't mean you have to drive top speed limit. Be mindful of those around you, especially smaller cars, especially older drivers. You've got to make sure we're all sharing this road together and driving safely.
Yeah. Today's not the day to tailgate because you want someone to go faster.
Yeah.
Then, you know, please, can we just be nice to each other today and be careful as we're all still getting acclimated to driving in snow again. We haven't had that much.
No.
Brittany, is this the wet, heavy stuff or is it the light, fluffy stuff that people are going to have to be shoveling?
Well, it depends where you live, right up north. And for most of the state, it's the light, fluffy stuff. And it should stay the light, fluffy stuff for quite a while. But down along the state line and towards Lake Michigan this evening and tomorrow morning, those temperatures are actually warming to near the freezing mark. So that's when it could get the heavier, wet, slushy kind of snow. But again, that's going to be late tonight.
Come on!
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't even win the snowblower in the contest.
I'm up here doing snow angels, and you guys have to take your time shoveling.
Yeah.
Rob from Rob is texting in on the live stream, says, so far in the Tigerton area, a quarter of an inch of snow. It's been snowing since 9 a.m., but the light snow, I'm planning to be out plowing after 1 p.m. Stay safe. Give the plow operators room to do their jobs. Hey, yes, absolutely.
Rob from Tigerton, it's your buddy Greg. You want to come down to Kenosha and make some money? How you doing? Make some little money. Hey, buddy.
Well, and to if you are able to, and if you have an elderly relative or an elderly neighbor that you could help out and maybe shovel for them, especially with heavy, wet snow. Words are hard.
Yes, they are.
Words can be very hard. That heavy, wet snow, give somebody a hand if you can. I'm sure they will be very, very appreciative. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist. Enjoy yourself, lady. I know you love this stuff.
Thank you.
She's making snow angels right now.
You can just hear how happy this just makes her so happy.
She was wearing a snow dress this morning on Pat's show.
A snow dress?
Yep.
Do we have visual evidence of this?
I can try to find some.
All right. Well, yeah. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. When we return, we're to talk all things sports with J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Don't forget the word to text is SLED via the Civic Media app. Text in the word SLED right now, SLED, up for grabs $100. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Build a snowman and pretend that he's passing around. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town, brother. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made. Walking in the Let's frolic and play the Eskimo way.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Federal Aviation Administration banning drones in certain parts of New Jersey.
And threatening to shoot down unauthorized drones due to special security concerns. The FAA warning that flying a drone without government permission in 22 areas is illegal. And authorities may use deadly force against any drones that pose an imminent security threat.
ABC's Ariel Reshef. Who'll blink first? The House Republican bill to keep the government running past Friday night failed, and Democrats say the only bill they support is the bipartisan measure that was torpedoed by billionaire Elon Musk and then President-elect Trump. The so-called murder hornet? No more in the U.S. 5 years after first being spotted near the border with Canada and Washington state and federal agricultural officials announced the hornet's eradication in the U.S. No new sighting since 2021. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bucks in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup, the Milwaukee Bucks are on the road tonight against the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bucks are 14-11 after the break. The Cavaliers in first place at 23-4. Three former Bucks players named nominees to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Marcus Johnson, Terry Cummings, and John McLaughlin, and Coach Doc Rivers, also named a nominee. College basketball, the Badgers go back to work this weekend at the Kohl Center. They will host a Horizon League team, the Detroit Mercy Titans, at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. NFL, Packers practicing in the snow. There's a chance for some flurries Monday night when they host the Saints. Running back Josh Jacobs says he likes games in the snow.
I like the game just because, you know, cold games, snow games, because defenders don't really want to hit. It kind of make them make decisions. You got to kind of make a business decision at times, and it's easier for me because I'm gonna make you have to make that decision.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Jim Carrey was serious about retiring from acting until he wasn't. The actor told the Associated Press that he was going to retire, but bought a lot of stuff and needed money. Desperation is not a very good negotiating tactic, so I'm guessing that is why Carrey probably walked back his comments to comicbook.com, saying he was joking. You can catch Carrey in Sonic Hedgehog 3 in theaters December 20th. In Where Are They Now news, one of the lovable thugs in Home Alone was played by Daniel Stern. You might remember him as the guy who had maybe the greatest scream in movie history when Macaulay Culkin put the huge spider on his chest. Stern posted a video on Blue Sky showing what he is doing now, tangerine farming. He gave his followers a tour of his studio and fruit-squeezing apparatuses. It was actually really cool. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Winter storm warning remains in effect. Another 1 to 3 inches of snowfall overnight as lows drop to the mid-20s. Gusty northeast winds. On Friday, a little snow early. Otherwise, we'll see gradual clearing. Gusty north winds, highs in the upper 20s. It's 30 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop holding my pants up because they would literally go down. And twice people stop me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film and TV critic Matt Miller. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr drops in with new music and great conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On, we are the champions, my friend.
morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest is underway this hour. Text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D, using the Civic Media app. Text the word SLED. We have $100 up for grabs this hour. Your next chance to play will be at 1 p.m. with Todd Alba, either $100 or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. But right now we are playing for $100. Text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D, via the Civic Media app, and good luck. And don't forget, well, we will wrap up the show as we always do now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Hot Doctor edition. Stay tuned for that. He joins us every other Thursday at this time. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. How are you guys? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The Bucks, the champs of the NBA Cup.
Cups and six. Cups and six.
What does this mean?
I think every Bucks fan and maybe even the members of the Bucks themselves are trying to figure that out. It means $500,000 in the pockets of the players. Each player gets a little nice bump, which I realize doesn't necessarily mean anything to the people watching. So this is the second year. It's no longer inaugural for the English nerds out there. We're now in an annual process here. What they call the NBA Cup, and it had a sponsor this year, didn't last year. It's a very fledgling enterprise. And it's this mid-season tournament, kind of an idea borrowed from, I would say, European sports to some degree. You know, you take time out and you build some games into the schedule that are also doubling as sort of preliminary games for this NBA championship. There is a final eight that emerges from group play, then a final four. The Bucks won a couple Tuesdays ago at home to go to Vegas in this sort of final four, and they proceeded to win. They beat the Hawks in the semifinal. They beat the Thunder kind of resoundingly in a very low scoring game. Great defensive performance on Tuesday to become the second annual NBA Cup champions. They're going to raise a banner. Like, they've got a game again on Saturday at home. They're going to raise a banner.
Shut up. They are not.
You know, they are prepared to celebrate it. I mean, the whole thing was with confetti and everything. And, you know, it's weird, right? Because it's this brand new thing. It's really hard to get a vibe around it. It's built into the context of a season that also has a championship at the end, which obviously far more people care about. The only thing I could say is that the Super Bowl was once this crazy exhibition, right? Super Bowl I, Super Bowl II, very early stages. People didn't know what to make of it. You know, Super Bowl I was sort of this like kind of crazy idea to bring the AFL and the NFL together. And then likewise, Super Bowl II. Now we recognize it as like the dawn of this amazing thing. I don't know. The NBA couple probably never hit that. We're going to need a decade to go by, I think, before we can appreciate it. But hey, it is something to celebrate. The Bucks have turned around their season. This is emblematic of that. And yeah. Banner going to the rafters. I hope it's a weird one. It's a weird thing.
That's awesome. I hope it's a weird one. A few questions. For one thing, what would happen? And I posed this to a friend of mine last night who is a huge Bucks fan, cups and six. And I said, what happens if a Giannis or a Dame Lillard or someone of that altitude of talent permanently injures themselves during this not important moment in basketball? You get a major break, you get a sprain, you get something that takes them out for weeks or the rest of the season, and all for this in-season tournament that has no bearing on anything but their wallets. What happens?
Yeah, I think that is a good question. So all of the tournament games do count as part of their regular season, except for the championship game, which is what you're asking about specifically.
Yeah.
That one is like an extra game. 83rd, the stats don't count. The record doesn't count. And they're playing all out. I mean, you saw the Bucks hold Oklahoma City to under 80 points. That is an incredible achievement. And that's because they were playing extremely hard. Giannis was going at it both ends of the floor. I think he's back in the MVP conversation as a result of how he has played, particularly in this nationally televised game. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It does set up for, you know, an injury. And I think the only, you know, the league will say this is a comparable, it is a lesser, but still a championship thing that we're baking into it. So you would want players to be as interested in winning that as they would for the playoffs at the end of the season. Now, the Bucks did not have Chris Middleton play in this game. Chris Middleton, of course, has just come back from injury. I don't know how severe that is, but it's probably a situation where they're like, this game doesn't really count. We are not going to risk it with Chris Middleton. Yeah. I think it is a tough middle ground to figure. I don't know. You're right. If Giannis had gotten hurt, the NBA Cup would be swear words in Milwaukee Bucks vernacular for the rest of our lives, you know, because that would be such a seemingly meaningless prize to have lost something so valuable. You know, that's a risk that is being taken for sure. And the NBA probably knows that as well. I imagine having it in December certainly gives you a chance to get any injured player back for the big part of the year, which is really April, May, June. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It could be, that would be a tough thing if that happened for the NBA.
Kelvin?
Yeah, I guess I had a couple of takeaways. I think the first thing is it proves that especially the game against the Thunder, that they can and are willing to play defense in games that matter.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I also think this kind of quells any nervousness about Giannis and Dame actually being compatible, because they looked great throughout the Cup playing together and with each other. And I also think this doesn't put Giannis back in the MVP conversation. In my opinion, it cements him in the lead of the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a superstar who's on his level defensively, and I think it's clear that he's the heart and soul of the team.
You're absolutely right. It is very comforting on those levels. The fact that their defense can be that level, I said under 80 points, but 81 points, still very, very just incredible. No team ever gets held under 90 points in an NBA game. Very impressive. Giannis as a defender is back to being maybe the best defensive player in the league. And we've seen all year that Giannis and Dame can kind of gel together, have gelled together more this season than in past seasons. This was definitely a sort of recognition of that. It's been a very encouraging 4 weeks for the Milwaukee Bucks on that front already. And he may very well be back out in front. I mean, there was nothing about Giannis as an MVP candidate coming into the NBA Cup portion of the season. He was just, I mean, MVP for the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the season is a ridiculous thing to talk about anyway, but of course we do it every year. Every national writer has opinions on this right out of the gate. Giannis was not in that mix. Nikola Jokic, I think, for Denver was kind of seen as a front runner, but now it's different. And I even posted something on Blue Sky, like, I predicted that if he beats Shea Gilgeous-Alexander of Oklahoma City head-to-head in this game, we're going to see a renewal of the MVP conversation. And there are many national people who are like, Giannis is the leader. Giannis is the guy. Ooh, I think Giannis might be the MVP front runner now. I mean, it all came out of the woodwork when you saw a triple double from Giannis. Just, it was a tremendous singular performance. I mean, it was really good. So yeah, I think that might be true. We might see a third MVP season from Giannis here.
If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is our guest. He's a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. Let's move on to the Packers, J.R. Just a win away from clinching a playoff spot.
Yeah, it's frustrating, I think, a little bit, because they're 10-4. They have won they've beaten everybody they should, essentially. The three teams that have beaten them are ahead of them in the standings. And yet, I mean, this team could easily win the last three games of the season and be a very, very impressive 13-4 and still be the number six seed out of seven in the NFC playoffs. Now, some of that is just the way the playoffs are structured. Division winners get dibs. So realistically, two of those division winners, because there are four divisions in the NFC, would have lesser records than the Packers. But you would have Philadelphia and Detroit, division champions, who would have better records, and Minnesota, also a wild card team, would also have the fifth seed. Still kind of in charge here over the Packers in terms of tiebreakers. Green Bay plays them in a couple weeks. That'll help, but it's not a guarantee, even if the Packers win, that they'll bypass Minnesota. So at some point you just surrender to the fact that they're going to go on the road, just like they did last year in the playoffs. That worked for them. They played very well in Dallas, and pretty well in San Francisco for most of the night. So we're going to have to see the same type of thing. They're going to have to go to Philadelphia and start in someplace either out west, maybe LA, Seattle. They could go to Atlanta to get things going, but they're going to have to win in Philly, win in Detroit. They're going to have to take down some really good teams if they want to get to the Super Bowl. That's just the way it goes. But they are looking the part. Their playoff berth is all but wrapped up. It's going to be clinched with a win, but it's pretty much a done deal.
I just want to go back briefly to Sunday night's game against the Seahawks. Those uniforms were so ugly and distracting. I felt like I was watching
a James Cameron film. Like they put them in those blue suits so they can do. It was wildly distracting.
I made a very terrible joke that I'm nonetheless proud of, that when Josh Jacobs was running over them, it was like the level of dominance was like white out over highlighter, because the Packers were, of course, in their all white uniforms to match. Seattle likes to, you know, there's something about the Pacific Northwest. You've got the University of Oregon with Phil Knight, and every game is a New Jersey and neon and weirdness and color. And Seattle has kind of adopted that thing, even though they're quite a bit north. They're doing their highlighter thing. You know what? To each their own. Seattle is very unpleasant in Packers lore, regardless of what they're wearing. So it was certainly a thing.
It was a bright green thing. Yeah. Yes, it was. We got a couple of minutes left to talk about wrapping up college volleyball.
Oh yeah, yeah. Unfortunately for the Badgers, they were not able to take care of business against Nebraska. I don't mean take care of business. Nebraska was a much better team this year. They played Wisconsin three times. They swept all three matches, 3-0. Nebraska is just sensational. Wisconsin did not play well enough in the Elite Eight to unfortunately even take a set. You know, Wisconsin was maybe a little bit down from where they've been. They graduate a huge senior class, which is going to make things a little challenging going forward. But Wisconsin is kind of now in this place where elite level programs are in college. People transfer in, you know, like they've already announced a couple, one from Miami, she's sensational, you know, Ohio State player who's very good. Like they're going to get players from other programs that want to be part of a championship caliber program. And that's what we have with Wisconsin right now. They've got a very good setter, Charlie Fearbringer, who is only a freshman this year. She was third team All-American. So they'll have her going forward, presumably. And that's a good place to start. They lost their hitter, Sarah Franklin, two-time Big Ten Player of the Year. First Badger to ever win twice Big Ten Player of the Year. She's unfortunately graduating. They're going to lose a ton of artillery up front, and they're going to have a hard time catching Nebraska in Big Ten play, possibly in tournament play, just like this last year. They haven't run into Nebraska in the regional level before. That's a very, very tough matchup. Nebraska's really humming along right now. I would pick them to win this weekend here, the NCAA Volleyball Championship.
Real briefly, we have a question on the text line. Dave from New Berlin. Ask the sports guru, please, if he thinks the Brewers are going to stink up the NL Central next season.
I do not. You know, I went into last year, I'm like, this is a 500 team. Hopefully, I just didn't see any way. And then, you know what? They proved me so wrong. They pieced it together. I think they're already off to a better offseason start this year than they were last year. So a lot of moves have to happen. But I think the Cubs got a lot better. That's a problem. But you know what? I am allowing the Brewers to just, you know, do your thing. It seems to be working. They're winning 90 games routinely now. You do you, Milwaukee Brewers. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be good enough to go back to the playoffs yet again. It's pretty remarkable what they've built.
And this time, make it to the second round.
That would be nice.
Yeah, they need some breaks. Lucky breaks, I think, at the end of the year.
And real briefly, we got about 90 seconds. We have our internal chat, and Greg wanted to know if you were forced or you lost a bet in order and why you watched the Netflix piece on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 3-part documentary. I tell you, the storytelling was pretty good. Now, Aaron Rodgers, all I can say is thank you, Netflix, for having a 1.5x speed option on watching your programming so that I can just turn that on and have blah, 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 blah. Yep, there, I watched it. It's like the Matrix. You just have it uploaded. You don't have to dedicate as much time. Thank you for that. I really, really appreciate that. Love it so much. Aaron Rodgers, he's an enigma. Just ask him. He will tell you. The title of the documentary is Enigma, Aaron Rodgers.
J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so very much, J.R. Happy Christmas to you and yours. Yep. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Stay close. We're going to wrap up the show with the This Shouldn't Be a Thing Hot Doctor Edition on the way. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, you're claustrophobic. That would really.
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for
oh,
you.
Oh, the wow. worst. You would talk like that.
Get this.
Absolutely. Get this.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we could get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you. And highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Caliente on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You have 8 minutes, about 8 minutes left, to text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D. Text in the word SLED using the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for a nice $100 bill. And you'll be in the running for one of 8 grand prizes as well. This contest only today and tomorrow. And then we're wrapping it up. Someone's going to win a snowblower, which is going to come in really handy. Espresso machine, set of luggage, maybe to escape the snow. Those are just among the grand prizes for our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. Text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D. And good luck. Your next chance in the 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba. And then later on today in the 4 p.m. hour with Dom Salvia. It is 11:52. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you stumble upon that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Just email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This one from today.com, headline reads, Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good? This year's hottest mocktail is Dr. Pepper?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Never in the history. No.
No.
Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible.
Answer there within, there you go. I mean... That's not a mocktail.
If someone has tried this, I would love to know about the hot Dr. Pepper. 855-752-4842. I'm very curious.
And if you have to, for one thing, that's not a mocktail. That's just a soda. That's it. Mocktail, to me, involves ingredients, a little assembly, like a regular cocktail. You're putting something together for someone, like, here's a non-alcoholic old-fashioned or whatever you want to call it, but it has some pomp and circumstance. This is as a picture of a lady pouring a bottle into a tub. I mean, this is not a mocktail. This is dumb. And today, shame on you.
Wow. Violent reaction to the Hot Doctor edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Author Heather Martin says, I poured it into a microwave-safe mug, stirred to banish most of the bubbles, and heated for 1 minute. It smelled very familiar. Warming happily brings the spice flavors to the forefront, but I found the first sip of the Hot Dr. Pepper too sweet. I rubbed some lemon peel on the mug lip, and I added a giant squeeze of lemon with a tiny smidge of sea salt to smooth out those the sweetness. With those tweaks, Greg Bach, she says this is solidly in drinkable territory. I don't know that that's high praise, putting it in drinkable territory.
That means that, like, that's like saying, like, you're in the vicinity of drinkability. Like, like this is
almost
the,
okay.
Yeah, you're getting the honorable mention of imbibable liquid. Like, it was, I think it's funny that she's put all these different things on there. Like, I put a splash of lemon. I did this, Tino, to mask the hot soda taste. Are you out of your mind?
There is no set recipe on social media, but there is one in published form in the Garvin County Extension Homemakers Recipe Book of 1980.
There's a YouTube commercial with Dick... rock around the Christmas New Year's guy.
Dick Clark?
Thank you. Yeah, Dick Clark. I got to watch this later. I didn't see this part of the story. Yeah, it looks like he's advertising hot pepper too. My goodness.
You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
She says it's still weird, but it doesn't foam so alarmingly. All good comments you want when you're talking about a beverage.
Hey, what do you think of that hot Dr. Pepper? I can drink it if I have to. Do I have to? I have to. Okay, I drink it. Hot Dr. Pepper. Can I put anything in there? Oh, I can put in like a rum? Great.
If you don't want to do eggnog and you don't do milk, Dr. Pepper has recipes for beverages online, including oat milk as an ingredient. If you don't want to find out the hard way which plant milks curdle, maybe opt for an oat nog.
How about
that's
this?
A whole nother this shouldn't be a thing.
Let's just opt for no. How about that? You want to drink something hot, hot toddy. Whatever happened to a hot toddy? When I was growing up, it was a hot toddy on a cold night, and that got you, not hot Dr. Pepper. That's called desperation in your freshman year in college.
We will include this article in the show notes in case you would like to try it yourself. Ugh. And send us a review. I'd be really curious to hear.
Send us a review along with a picture of your face or a video of your face once that hot, steamy, bubbly garbage hits your mouth. I want to see that.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little, and you have a chance to share it. Stay here. News coming up next. Be careful on the roads, too. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers stops by with a Friday edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also our final day to win prizes in our Text to Win contest. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The clock keeps ticking toward a late Friday night government shutdown. The measure cooked up by House Speaker Mike Johnson failed miserably.
The measure hailed by President-elect Trump as a success didn't even earn a majority vote in the Republican-controlled House. It fell well short of the two-thirds vote it would have needed to swiftly pass. For the moment, there's no clear path forward for Speaker Mike Johnson. His bipartisan deal was blown up by Trump and Elon Musk. And Democrats, whose votes may be necessary, are insisting that negotiated package is the only measure they'll support as the shutdown deadline nears.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg says federal prosecutors in his office are working out how separate cases in the killing of the United Healthcare chief exec will run parallel to each other, accused assassin Luigi Mangione back in New York City after waiving extradition. Amazon insisting a strike by Teamsters union workers has had no impact on deliveries. This is ABC News.